Amen. Well, one of the things that the Word of God received will profit you. The Word of God not received will not profit you. You will be, as I guess you could say, a forgetful hearer. So you could hear something and not receive it, and it wouldn't profit you. So many people go and listen to sermon after sermon after sermon, and it doesn't profit them because it's not received. So I want you to look at this particular scripture verse in Romans chapter 10, in the King James, and these are familiar scriptures. Look at verse 13. It says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that do what? Preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." Now look at verse 16. "But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, Lord, who hath what? Believed our report." Who hath believed our report? And then the familiar verse that we're all familiar with. So then, see, you can't just pull 16 out and say, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Look at verse 16. It says, "But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah said, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then, if you believed the report." So if something's not received, if you don't receive the report of the Lord, there is no so then. So then faith, if you what? Received the report of the Lord. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You can hear and hear and hear. But if it's not received, no profit, no faith comes. See? And we know that's true in this regard. People come all the time and listen to preachers preach, listen to people on the street say, you need to be saved, and they go, eh. No faith is received because they didn't receive the word of God, no faith to be saved. See, there has to be, you've got to receive the word of God in order for there to be an effect on you. So, if you look at, and I wanted to read this particular translation in Romans 10:17. This is an old translation. They say it's very accurate. It's called the Young's Literal Translation. And it says, "So then faith is by a report." I like the way this is written. You know, we read in the King James, says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." This translation says, "So then the faith is by a report, and the report through a saying of God." So when we receive the report of the Lord, it's the sayings of God that we're receiving. And then what? Faith cometh, what? By that report. So a saying from God brings faith. And it brings faith, but then real living faith does something. Why? Because it received it. Faith comes, and faith will initiate you. Faith will cause you to act. It will move you to act. Real living faith will prompt you and move you to act. Let's look at one other scripture. I'm just starting here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Let's just look at this particular scripture. We just want to make a point here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Pages are stuck here. First Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. And this is, I believe, probably for a lot of you, a familiar scripture. It says, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us," so it's got to be received, "which you heard of us," it says, "you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." So the word of God was received not as the word of men, but as the word of God. But see what happened. What did it do? It said here, "but as it is in truth the word of God, which does what? Effectually worketh in you," what? "That believe." So the word of God must be received to do what? Effectually work in you. And it has to be received as the word of God, not the word of men. So that's why it's important when we come, that we come expecting to hear something from God, and that we do what? We receive it as from him, not from me or whoever else is sharing the word of God, but it's from God. And when it's received as from him, and you receive the report or the saying of God or from God, it will do just what the word of God says here. It says, "which when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." So that's where we're going. The scripture supports scripture. So you can see here, who hath believed the report of the Lord? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, because the report of the Lord was received. But when it's not received, it will not effectually work in you. See? It'll just be a good sermon to you. Does that anybody get that? Everybody see that? So it's important that when we receive the word of God, that when faith comes, well, if it's received, faith will come. Because that's what the scripture says. Who hath believed the report of the Lord? I did. So then when I do, faith comes. See, isn't that good? That's good for me. So the word, as Isaiah said in Isaiah, he said, the word will not return void, but it must be received as the word of the Lord. Otherwise, it's not producing. It's not going to be productive in you. So these are just some things that we need to keep in mind, that the word will work for you if you're not a forgetful hearer. You've got to receive it and then do something with it. So faith, and this is what we've been talking about, real living faith moves mountains. Faith in your life will change something. It will move a mountain. But faith won't move anything until it moves you, because it has to be received. And then when faith comes, it'll move you into action. It'll cause you to do something. And the first part that usually when faith comes that moves you will be your mouth. You'll start talking about it. You'll start saying something. So when we're faced with obstacles, don't make friends with your mountains or your obstacle. Don't make friends with it. What do I mean by that? Don't talk about it. Never face your mountain with your mouth closed. Never face a situation or an obstacle with your mouth closed. Speak to that obstacle. Don't let the mountain out-talk you. You've got to keep talking to it. Now, this was something that one of the ladies that was on staff at one point, she's not on staff now, but she was would come here periodically and pray a couple times a month during service here, and also in Nanuet. But this was something, she was here one Sunday, this was in 2012, and the Lord gave her this, and I tell you, it really ministered when she shared it. This was some words she got. Don't nurse it, don't rehearse it, disperse it, and I'll reverse it. Don't nurse it, don't rehearse it, disperse it, and I'll reverse it. Don't nurse it. That's making friends with a mountain. When you nurse something, you make friends with it. You don't speak to it. Don't rehearse it. That means talking about the mountain, talking about the problem. We rehearse things. Disperse it. What does that mean? Speak to it. You speak to the obstacle. You disperse it. And I'll reverse it. That is the God kind of faith will remove the mountain. The God kind of faith will remove an obstacle. So we need to keep in mind that when it's not a matter, mountains are inevitable. You live long enough, you're going to run into some obstacles and some challenges in life. And it's what you do when you're faced with that obstacle and mountain or situation is key. This is something I wanted to look at this morning for a few minutes. Just want to look at a couple of scriptures here. One more foundational scripture. Let's go over to Mark 11 for a moment. And then I want to go to Psalm 91. But let's go over to Mark 11. Just highlighting faith here for a moment. Mark 11, 22 through 24. And of course, you know the story. Jesus cursed the fig tree. And Peter calling to remembrance saith unto him, Behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. And Jesus answering saith unto them, Have faith in God. Verse 23, For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Verse 24, Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. Now this particular, there's a few translations that I think help a little more than the King James. But we're talking about here faith and believing and what you say. And the New English Bible says that you have no inward doubts, but believe that what he says is happening, it will be done for him. The Johnson translation, I like this really the best. It says, Truly, anyone who speaks to that mountain yonder, saying, Dump yourself in the lake, and does not become separated from the statement he makes, that person will actualize his statement. When anyone's expression in prayer is congruent with his inner being, his desire will be actualized. So when we speak to something, this is where we don't realize or actualize what it is that we believe, because we become separated from the statement we make. We say something in faith, and then we become separated when the conditions start to talk. And we start talking about the condition, which causes us to become separated. What does that mean? I start saying something different than what I just said in faith, which is what the King James says. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe the things that you say shall come to pass, you shall have whatsoever you say. So if you keep saying what you believe, you will have what you say. Well, we hear that. Motivational speakers trying to get people spending millions and millions of dollars go places to keep saying what you believe. And actually, they're just using biblical principles. But if we keep saying what we believe, the world even says that that person lied so much they actually began to believe it. They began to believe the lie. Because they kept saying something that was a lie, and they said it so much they actually believed it. Well, that's just exactly what this is saying. If you believe in your heart and doubt not, you will have what you say. So for us, we need to believe what God's word says, and continue to believe it. What does that mean? What things soever you desire, when you pray, believe you receive it. That word means to take. So if I take what's been paid for, it's mine. And then I continue to speak it. And if I don't become separated from that, I'll have it. I was watching something. This woman came to our ministry, this is years ago, it's probably almost 20 years ago, I've been praying about having her come again, but she operates in a prophetic anointing. And about four or five years ago, she had a massive heart attack. And they didn't really expect her. They didn't expect her to live, and they didn't expect much. If she did live, she'd be a vegetable. And she looks the picture of health. And so she said after, the, you know, they told her all the diagnosis the doctors did. And so through this process, she kept speaking the word of God. She kept saying it and speaking it. They said half her heart wasn't functioning. And so they would look at it on x-rays and all the various tests that they did. And they said, well, we just have to see you every time you come in because you're just a miracle. And they would look at her heart and they'd say, but it shouldn't be working, but yet it's working. So she said, well, praise God. So she said this last visit, she went and they did whatever the tests were that they did. I don't know if they did a sonogram or whatever test it is that they can see the heart. This Jewish doctor came to her and just shouting and screaming. And said, he was speechless and said, we don't understand it, but the flesh in your heart is restoring itself. The heart is the bad side is actually the flesh is beginning to restore itself. We don't understand it. They said, now, certain organs can restore themselves, they said, but the heart is not supposed to restore itself. But yours is. And it's baffling them. And so all they can say is you're a miracle. Well, God's word is a miracle. God's word has the power in it of salvation. That means it can heal, it can restore, it can deliver. And if we keep speaking the word and not become separated over time, you shall have what you say. I'm thinking about a family that was in this church here. They moved to Tulsa, a Broken Arrow, and she started going to Rhema Bible Training College. She's since graduated, and I think she's going to ORU, Oral Roberts University. But she would go every single day to prayer and healing school after she got out of school at the college, at Rhema Bible Training Center. And she'd go to prayer and healing school. And we remember her, she was a little tiny, she's still tiny. I mean, she's grown, but she's tiny. Tiny little young lady, full of power. And she would wear a pump because she had to have a constant injection of insulin into her body. And when we were out there last February, her father said, the doctors don't understand it, but her pancreas are working. It's the word. It's the word. She ain't using a pump. It's the word. It's the word. It's the word. It's the healing word of God constantly fed on and spoken will change your body. It'll change your finances. It'll change you. So I just get excited about it when I think about those testimonies. But anyways, let's go over to Psalm 91. I wanted to look at this morning in the light of this here. And there's certain things that we know the Holy Spirit lives in us. If you're born again, you have the Holy Spirit dwelling inside you. You've got the Word of God dwelling in you, in your spirit. But we also have angels at our disposal and an army of angels there to assist us and to help us. And I want us to look at that concerning faith and our confession and what we say. Because we know the scripture says in Proverbs 18, life and death is in the power of the tongue. They that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. But let's look at Psalm 91 for a moment. It says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide or lodge under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. See, it's important to have a good profession. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee, I like to say me, with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. So you can see here, look at the profession of faith that's going on here. Verse 9, because. So this is conditional. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, my habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. Look at verse 11. For he shall give his what? Angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. We have some help. And those angels excel in strength. And they're at the disposal of the Lord to do what? Assist us. So that when we put our trust in him, he dispatches them. He said right here, for he shall give what? His angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. So that means when I don't see danger coming, they're there to protect me because I've put my trust in the Lord. He is my help. He's my habitation. So I can put my head down and sleep at night, and 1,000 may fall on one side. And what does it say? 10,000 at thy right hand, but it's not coming nigh me. I've got some help. I've got angels. Think about Jesus. Turn over to a second just to think about this. Jesus was a man. He was God, but he was a man. He was the Son of Man. But look at Matthew 4, after he was what? Tempted of the devil, after he was led up out of the wilderness, after he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, the tempter comes and goes through all of this. But after that, he's speaking what? He's confronting the devil with what? The word of God, the word of God. Thus saith the word of the Lord. And then what happened in verse 10? He said, Then said Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou what? Serve. Then what? Then the devil leaveth him, and what? Behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Hallelujah. Angels are on assignment. If we keep a good profession, turn over to Psalm 103. You're in Psalm 91. Turn over to 103. See, this is where, this is another facet of our faith and speaking the word of God. But look at Psalm 103. And look at verse 20. It says, Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto what? The voice of his word. So when I put his word in my mouth, they hearken. They will there be there to protect. They will be there to help. I'm not dashing my foot against anything. There are so many testimonies of people that have been in harm's way, death's way, that have been what? Delivered. And I guarantee you it was because of this. See, let's go back to Psalm 91 for a moment. He said in verse 11, For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and dragon shalt thou trample underfoot, because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him, and long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Let's look at I want to look at there's a couple of just looking here for a second here. Look over at Hebrews chapter 1. This is a familiar scripture verse. I'll just go here first. Hebrews chapter 1. Verse 14, it says in Hebrews chapter 1, it says, Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? Let me read from the New International Version. Are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation? The Hebrew version, it says, Aren't they all ministering spirits sent forth to do service for the sake of those who will inherit salvation? So when we speak the word of God, the angels will hearken to that word and do something, will serve us. They're here to serve us. you know, that seems, you're going to have to believe this by faith. You're going to have to, you know, we go back to who shall believe the report of the Lord? If you don't believe it, it won't work for you. You've got to believe that God's word is so and true, and that there are ministering angels assigned to assist us and to serve us. Let's look at some New Testament. Well, before we do that, let's go to Psalm 34, a familiar scripture verse. Psalm 34. Let's start with verse 1. Psalm 34. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. This is like Psalm 91 in a way. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. What? The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. So I've got the angel of the Lord encamped around me, and he shall, what, deliver me. Hallelujah. What does verse 8 say? Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Oh, fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. Hallelujah. Let's look at Acts chapter 8 for a minute. Acts chapter 8. I'm going to look at a couple of New Testament. This is the book of Acts. Acts chapter 8. Let's see how. And this is a familiar story about Philip, and there was an Ethiopian eunuch, but you can see here he was reading Isaiah, and so this is the start of the story here. We're talking about a New Testament account here. Look at verse 26. And the angel of the Lord, this is chapter 8, verse 26 of Acts. And the angel of the Lord did what? He spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. Now, does it say the angel appeared unto him? Does it? No. It just said he spoke unto him. He said, go over there. And what does it say here in verse 27? And he arose and went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, see, so now here, verse 26, it said, the angel said, go over here. He's directing activities here. And then the Holy Ghost said, what? Said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him, and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And of course, you can go down and read the rest of the story. But the point is that the angel gave him some directions. And once he got to the place where he was supposed to be, then the Holy Spirit started giving him some directions. So you can see here, angels get involved in some of our day-to-day activities. And we need to be open. Sometimes we go, I'm not doing that. You need to be listening and aware that angels do direct the activities that we're about. Here's another story here. Let's go over to Daniel. This is a very familiar story, Daniel chapter 6. This is the story of Daniel in the lion's den. So you can see in this story, starting in actually you can see here this whole story, how these individuals, that's why when you read this story and you start to see how the king, Darius, it said he had, when you start reading down further, you can see the story, and it's interesting why it's important the people that you surround yourself with. Because you read this story here, and it talks about how in verse 6, then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said unto the king, you know, King Darius, live forever. And all the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes, the counselors, captains, have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. And then they caught who? Daniel praying with the window open, and they said, O king, you got to honor your word. So he had to. He threw him into the lion's den. He didn't want to. But isn't it interesting how Darius responded? He didn't want to do it. And if you read further, or before you, he said, what did he say? He said, verse 16, then the Lord commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. So, it doesn't say the Holy Ghost told him, but the king, the anointing of God rested upon the king. And so that decree, it doesn't say, but I dare say it probably got some angels in motion. Because that's exactly what happened. Because when you go over on the other side here, the rest of the story, in verse 21, then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God hath sent his angels and hath shut the lions' mouths, that they have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. And then verse 24, then the king got all of those that conspired to exact that law, threw them in the lion's den, and it didn't go well with them. Yeah. Yeah, it said through them, their children, their wives, and the lions had the mastery of them. as they say, they ate them up. The angels didn't work on their behalf, did it? So when you put God first and you exalt him and you speak well of him and you begin to say who he is to you, he will dispatch angels so that they protect you. No harm shall come nigh or evil shall come nigh you. So you can see here, it didn't go good for them, did it? Let's go back to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 5. This is an account, another familiar account, Acts chapter 5 with Peter. And of course, this whole story here, they had been preaching the gospel, and you can start in verse 16, and it talks about how they brought all of the sick and so forth into Jerusalem, and they healed everyone. They cast evil spirits out of them, and then what happened? Your religious folks got upset, the high priest and all that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, were filled with indignation or envy, it says. And they laid their hands on the apostles, put them in the common prison. I like this. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said... So the angel started directing some things here, gave them some directions. Go stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. Now they didn't say, but we just got thrown in prison because of that. You want us to go back again? What does it say in verse 21? And when they heard that, they entered into the temple early in the morning. They obeyed. But the high priest came and they were with him and called the council together and so forth. And you read the rest of the story. It says they weren't pleased with that. And so, you know, you can read right on down through. And then, of course, what is it, Gamaliel? He said, you know, if God's with them, you can't overthrow it. You don't want to fight against them. So what they do? They beat them. They harassed them. Don't speak in the name of Jesus. This is the end of chapter 5. And what they end up doing? Going right back again. Right back into the temples to preach. And it says, and daily in the temple, in every house, they cease not to teach and preach Jesus. They were protected. Hallelujah. And then, of course, one last story. You know the story about Paul, where they were taking him to Rome. And, of course, he said, you know, this voyage will be with much harm and so forth. But what? What does he say? And after they set sail, they hit a storm. And he said, the angel of the Lord has appeared unto me. Or he said, the angel, he didn't say the angel of the Lord. I think he said the angel, what did he say? Yeah, let me read that here. Yeah, he said, there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whose I serve. And so here, the angel of the Lord spoke and gave some directions that there'll be no loss of life. And so the point we're making here is that let's receive the word of God as the report of the Lord. And when we do and we take it and receive it and we profess it, that it'll work for us in ways not only the word will work, but the angels will hearken unto his command. They'll hearken unto his words, and they'll work in our behalf. They'll protect us. They'll show us what to do. I'm convinced that the times that I've been delivered, and I'm sure some of you that have been delivered from things, you may not have known it was an angel. To me, it doesn't really matter. I was delivered. I was protected. And really, that's all that's important. Whether it was an angel or the Spirit of God, all I know is that we're protected. We didn't dash our foot against a stone. We were protected from evil and harm. And that's what counts to me, that we believed the word of the Lord and we professed him, like in Psalm 91. I will put my trust in the Lord. He is my helper. He's my all in all. So it's just sharing this morning, I wanted to bring this way, that it's not just the word of God received, but when we receive it, the angels hearken unto that word and assist in bringing to pass. When you profess and make statements and faith, how many, I know I have, so I know if it happened to me, I'm sure it happened to you, that when you confess the word of God, you may not know how to walk this out. But when I say my needs are met, when I say my body is healed, when I profess that the word of God says, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health, that he shall supply all of my need through Christ Jesus. When I continue to make that profession of faith, he may say to you, go over here today. Do this. Go over to this store and buy this. In other words, he's directing our path to live within maybe the means that we have. You know, so often folks think, I need more money to live and to exist. No, you need favor. You need direction. I'm not saying more money and things doesn't help, and that may be an answer. But you got people that have lots of money and still are miserable and still don't have wisdom on how to use it. And so when the Holy Ghost will guide you and show you, there could be somebody selling a home that wants to get rid of it, but it's not advertised. I've heard people tell stories of people who have given their house away, given things away. And it comes into the hands of those who have a good profession of faith. And the angel and the angels of the Lord and the Holy Ghost will guide us and lead us. I'm just telling you, this word will put us over in life. We shall not come up short. If we believe the report of the Lord and continue to profess the blessings of God and continue to profess what is ours, if we continue to do that and don't become separated from what we believe, you'll have it. And it's a choice. You have to make a choice. I'm going to have everything that God says is mine. And not become weary, because it says, you shall reap in due season if you faint not. It's Galatians 6. So if we don't faint and we continue to profess the word of God, little by little by little, we will walk into a greater measure of God's blessings. Most folks don't continue. They give up. They just say, well, you know what? It'll never happen. I don't see how that could happen. Or the conditions, the situations keep talking so loud that it looks like over time it couldn't possibly happen. But just like anything else, suddenly something can change in the natural. And now all of a sudden, it looks like, hey, things are changing. Right. Exactly. What is faith? Faith is the substance. It's the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. So my faith is the evidence of something that I don't see yet, but I have it. It's mine. I took it, and it's mine. I have it. What does that mean? If I've got something, then I act like I have it. I talk like I have it. I live like I have it. So the angels of the Lord encampeth around those that fear him. And the angels are at our disposal. So that's why we should not worry, we shouldn't fret. If you've planted seed in the ground, then you can expect a harvest from the seed that you planted. And the angels, when I speak and I command my harvest to come in, the angels will cause that to, and bring it in. They'll cause it to come into my sphere of influence. So if you've planted, if you've planted financial seeds, if you've planted things, then there's a harvest due. You can begin to speak to that harvest and say, I command this to come in. What does the scripture say? Give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be meted or measured again unto you. So I can speak to that harvest and I can command it to come in. I can expect a return on that. I can expect a return on my giving, whether it's time or whether it's finances. So keep that in mind as you go about. Remember that as you speak the word of God, it says in Psalm, what does it say in Psalm 34? That the angels excel in strength and they hearken unto the voice of his command, right? And obey his word. So when we speak the word of God, the angels respond. Now, how they respond, I don't know. All we know is that the word of God that when we've shown, I mean, we've got account after account after account how the angels have interacted and intervened and assisted in the lives of the saints. And if that was under an old covenant, and then we see it in the new covenant, then we can expect it. We can expect assistance. We can expect that no harm shall come nigh our dwelling. That's how I think. I'm going to think like what the word says to think, right? And talk like it. Amen. So as you go through your week, think about that. Say, thank you, Lord, for the angels that are bidding for you, doing your word, hearkening unto the voice of your word. Thank you that they're bringing finances. Thank you they're bringing favor into my life. Thank you that favor and health is coming to me. And the angels are there assisting and helping the saints. In Jesus' name.